Okay, this is Kelly Lally, and I'm here with Mr. Smith Meredith near Mammoth Cave, Kentucky. Today is June the 19th, 1987. The easiest place to start is to ask me, or ask you, when you were born.
July the 20th, 1911.
And where did you grow up?
Right here.
This area?
I was born in Edmonds County, stayed in Edmonds County. I went to two times. I stayed there 29 years to come back here.
What were times like for you and your family during the Depression?
They were hard. I kept a job for you all the time, but I made it. I worked in timber, on a sawmill, a carpenter, blacksmith, and but you couldn't even be hard for nothing. Wasn't hard you fit since then.
Anything and everything you could do?
Yeah.
How old were you around the Depression? In your early twenties or?
Well, I was born in 1911.
Yeah.
And I'd have been around 20, 18, 20.
Did you still live with your family at that point?
Yeah, I stayed at the home for about 22 years old.
How did you hear about the CCC?
Oh, smoke come up here somewhere, and a truckload comes out of put out fire. And it sat over there in Lumber, about 7 or 8 miles away from here, and I seen them evidently.
How were people selected for the CCC in this area, or did they?
I don't know. The county attorney must, prosecuting attorney must turn me in. Me and him was good friends, and the assistant superintendent come over here one day and told me to come over and join.
So you just joined up what day? What year did you join in?
I believe that paper said 38.
38? And you stayed in until 1940?
Yeah, discharged me December the 20th. I went to work for two during December the 12th. I got off a few days and went up and got a job, then went to work and come back and discharged me.
So you were in for about 2 years. Which camp were you around?
Number four? In the Forks River. I don't know if you know which I am.
Forks River?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you were already married.
Yeah.
When you came
to
the
CCC. Yeah, I was too old for a CCC bump. But I was, to a great extent, on the CCC regulations. I stayed in the barracks and in camp. And had to take care of one barrack, so I had 35 to maybe 40 men in there sometimes when we were school.
Where did your family stay while you were?
They stayed here on the farm part of the time, and finally they moved over on the park one winter, right at the camp.
So you had some men under you, so to speak, in the barracks?
Yeah, about anywhere from 30 to 35.
Okay.
And I had two assistant leaders to help me when I was in the barracks. They made me sleep in the middle of the camp, and I had a assistant leader at each outside door.
What, they did keep everybody in line? And
no, you couldn't. I know one morning I got up, and one man would sweep half of it, the other man would sweep another half, and he just sweep and went through the whole bunch. And two boys couldn't get along, and I was making up my bed, and they started right at my bed and went both ways. And they'd bump one another with a broom handle and sort of bring down with father. I just got a hold of them both, put them out the front door, and what I did was I put them out on the sergeant. I was done with them.
How were you paid? What was the salary?
Well, the salary when I went there was $1 a day, and my board and clothes. But it wasn't, and they rated you to $36 a month and to $45. But the first rating I got in just a few weeks, not very long after you got there, I went to $45. I got $45 the first rate.
And, like, I guess it wouldn't have been, it would have been a little different for you, but did a lot of guys still send their money home to their family or automatically?
Well, the boys was supposed to send so much of them to the daddy or mammy or whoever they made it to. They just got so much of it, so I went home.
And since you were already on your own family?
Well, now I just simply don't know how they paid me, whether they paid me all of it or whether they sent so much more. Of course, you made that rate and you got that extra according to what you allowed. And then they run out of the barber, and I barbered for a while, and I was getting one rating, and I couldn't get two. And the commander said, just go ahead and cut higher and charge him 10 cents a head, and I made what I could.
Extra money as being a barber. That's, well, it's original. You gotta do it any way you can, I guess, huh?
Yeah, I had plenty of barbers to do.
Well, aside from supervising the men in the barracks, what other, did you work on any projects here in the park?
Yeah, I was a stonemason. And I worked in a blacksmith shop some, and I built an exchange house right there where the hotel was at. They tore it down. And I built two Rangers log cabins where them tires at, and I think they tore it down. And over on the hillside, I built a big generator on a steep hillside, and it's 24 foot long and about 12 foot wide. And had wings come out like that every time they come up a foot to fill all 6 inches. And that was filled full of dirt, and a truck could back up on, dump that garbage out in the interior. And then they tore it down. And I built a coordinator from the main coordinator from a hotel down there, now it's still standing. The two log cabins. And I done next to, I made boards and put on some houses. I just went out and cut a tree and put out the board. Chris ordered them and nailed them on. I don't know if you've seen it nailed on or not. They'd put down three, put down two, then you put one over the crack. Then you put the rest of that over the top of a little lap over like that. And I made one ferry house down there on sled runners. When the river get up, and put a bulldozer to it and take it up the hill. And when the river go down, we'd put the bulldozer to it and back down where that ferryman could stand it in one time.
Did you do the foundations to the ranger houses that are in the...
I built a foundation to the superintendent's home. And I built a foundation to the Rangers home over at the good, Maple Springs, I believe it is. Yeah, Maple Springs. And done a whole lot of more work on that.
I've seen some of your work. I've been looking around out there. It's really good. Did you do the pump house at it?
Yeah, down over the hill down there. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I went over there and tore down a whole lot the bosses had built it over.
Did it your way?
No, they didn't follow blueprint.
They didn't.
And the superintendent called me over to straighten it up, and I had to do something. And that's what made me leave. There's two of them, bosses, doing $165 a piece, and I was doing $45 trying to build it down. And you've been out around the utility garage, I built an oil house out there. Mm-hmm. Or to keep the oil and the paint, I built that.
I've seen that. Where did you get the material, the stone?
They quarried them on the hillside away somewhere. Jack Johnson, I think, dug them out. He's a car, asphalt man from Tyrock working over. He was boss, he had a bunch of boys, and he blowed them on the ground.
And you said you also did some blacksmithing?
Yeah, I worked with a blacksmith for a while, and he got me out on that stone mason, and went on the job.
to find something you did well and they kept you with it.
I run that. I'm going to put this in and I've been 40 years. Shovel for a week and I was getting water. Or getting no regulations. But I got that loose dirt down the way, come out of the riverbank. And I never had been on one. And before the week was out, I was loading 90 truckloads a day. Of course, it's loose dirt pile it. And I drove a bulldozer in case of emergency. They tore up a truck down at the old ferry. And I went down there, there wasn't no driver, and the mechanic was visiting. He started it, and I drove it out to number two camp to put a cleat track into it.
Did you have much interaction with the other camps, even though you were in there before?
No, nothing on there. I went down to House and Ferry and built a house for the firms. And number two come over there and helped. And that's, I didn't have much to do with the other camp. I stayed in my own camp.
How many men did you have working for you when you were?
I believe four or five to 20. I believe this paper said 15 to 20. That was the average, I guess. I would say I averaged from 10 to 15. Sometimes it's had two or three and sometimes had a real big. It depends on what I was doing. Mm-hmm. If I had a lot more of a job where I had more men and sometimes I didn't have too much to do. And it's on there somewhere. I might find it quicker than I can.
Yeah, about 20, it says.
Well, I'd say it was 20 men on a detail. Mm-hmm.
Depending on what you were doing.
Yeah. I laid the foundation for the superintendent's home over out. What is his name now? Cindy is not a nice man.
So a typical day's work, or was there no typical day's work?
Well, it was all about the same. And about the only thing they let me leave, my sister would take care of the barracks. And when I was on fire detail, I was on special fire detail in the fall of the year. And I lived right at the side of the road, and dump driver drove the tools. Well, he'd unload the fire whistle. Well, he'd come on out the house and I'd get in, we'd go on the farm. Then the foreman would bring them in, come on to the farm. And we was the first into the farm, the leader in the tool man, the dump truck.
Did you see your family very much? Did you go?
Well, they lived there. And I'd come home when I lived over here on the farm for nearly a week. I thought I was on fire detail. I always had to stay.
How much free time did you have?
Well, we were supposed to work 8 hours. And I didn't want to eat back like a foreman. I just tried to work with the boys and learned them all I could, and I done most of the time worked right with them. And told them what they wanted to know that I knowed, and if they got something that I didn't know, I tried to find it for them, tried to find an answer. They were just mostly kids, 14, 15, 17 years old. And I tried to learn them what I could, and what I didn't know, I tried to find an answer for them. Of course, I had to be foreman when I was out there, but I didn't act like one.
You acted like one of the guys?
Yeah. You get more work out of nowhere.
Yeah. Did you ever participate in any of the organized recreation programs like the sports or?
No, I never joined that. I had a farm to run, but had time to overcome the farm. And I, as an education advisor, wanted to teach the kids in the schoolroom where they, in the carpenter world, and I wouldn't do it. There's so many kids that are afraid they cut their hands off them high-five towers. Well, he said, "Will you keep my tools sharpened?" I said, "Yeah, I'll do that. But I ain't going to know a bunch of kids and cut their hands off of them high-powered saws and them planers." Joe Clancy stuck his finger in the planer and I cut the hands off.
Did any of your boys ever play pranks on each other?
Yeah, they all the time playing pranks on each other.
Do you remember anything they used to do?
Oh, they'd short sheet one another, you know what that is? And they'd cut up shaving brushes and put it in the bed, and they'd caulk the bed where they'd fall down over them. And, yeah. There's all time some kind of prank going on.
Somebody was telling me about making some of the new boys guard a flagpole with the broom.
I never seen none of that, because some of them might have went on and I wasn't there.
Where was Camp 4 situated again, on the fork of the...
You know where the range is at?
Uh-huh.
On this side of the river?
I think so.
That's just up this way. Come right on that straight out that road, just a piece out there. And sometimes you can come plumb through and come out on the road before you get to start home. And part of the time they had a lot of fast enough. Last time I was in there, it opened. I got in there one time, like never got turned around. The little mile road and... You can't hardly tell it. It's rolled up, great big trees are. And, the only thing that I found that I know when I went back there was the old corner of the old chlorinator where they was cement. They didn't tie it down, didn't cover it up.
I'm going to have to get somebody to show me where these things are.
It was way down here on the hillside, you see, and the backs, I believe we had four. And that was company street up through here. And the commanding officer was down here. And we had the, I don't know what they call it. Where they had the food and
mess hall?
No, wasn't the
commissary or whatever?
Yeah, commissary, where they had the things to sell the boys in it. And the bathroom was sitting right along there, and the commander's office was this. This was the home down here. And the kitchen bar where we eat was in here.
Uh-huh.
And went on here and went down to the East, what they call the ECW office.
What does that stand for?
Oh. I don't know, man. No. It's where they had the tools.
Uh-huh.
And where Joe Collegi worked. And we checked the tools down there for more than one started with. Then right back here, where the blacksmith shop was at. And the sergeant would come up and call us out there, and we'd line up there before breakfast, then we'd go and get breakfast, and we'd, I usually went on out to the blacksmith shop or the ECW office, or got my truck and driver out, whatever I had to do, and he'd line the boys up and bring them out there and put them on the trucks for the, I believe we had four general foremen. It was Pat Fisher and Dan Brady and the name of Cates, and well, mine quit as Pete Murray, and Claude Pretty acted as foreman for the time, the blacksmith. I'd go in on sharpened tools, the blacksmith sharp drill bits, and I sharpened 14 cross-cut saws one time. There was all the teeth looked a bit like my thumb.
Hmm.
And the superintendent asked me if I shot him. I told him no. He said, you ain't got nothing to show. I said, you let me make some teeth. You know what a cross cut saw is. But it's got two teeth now. And what's called a dragger, it drags the dust out. And that's 6 foot long. I said, you let me make some teeth? I said, you make teeth? I said, yeah, to get the image on. And I went down between this tooth and dragger, an inch and a half, went down between the tooth, an inch. And then I took a file and I stuck them all down the same length and I took a gauge and I cut this here off. On 32nd, where the tooth had gotten in the drag would pick up the dust. And he, superintendent, come in on the evening first day and said, how many you got? I said, now get this and I'll have one. He said, one. And it took me 14 days straightening the salt up, date and salt. But they would saw. When we went down and met the man from number two camp, he wanted to know where that saw come from. He said, it wasn't a CC saw. And I said, yes, it is, and I've got 13 more up. I just like it. It sounds good. He said it wasn't so.
I know you said that you and the other your camp and the other camps didn't interact much at work, but do you know if there was much interaction among the different camps at other times?
Oh, not too much. They played ball sometimes and done a few things, yeah, I don't know. Me and them didn't have, me and the bosses had to sometimes. We had to, but that's the only time that maybe when they was come to help me do something, I went to help them, but it wasn't very often. I usually stayed on my, now I went in the district and worked. And I went to my, all the time I was across the river, I was in the district. Around the hotel and building that coordinator and that oil house and on the superintendent's home and building Brooks Knob log cabin. I was in there district, but I still don't know.
I know that there was an all black camp, Camp Number One. Do you have any idea about how the whites felt about the presence of blacks in the camp nearby?
Well, they didn't think too much of them back in that day. Mm. Not this, not near as much as they do now.
Was there any
I don't know if they had any trouble or any tension between them, but a colored man back in the 40s wouldn't thought too much of them. And now as far as them having any trouble, I don't know nothing about it. Mm. Fact of events, I wasn't around the colored camp at all, but I did have an uncle who was General Foreman in there. And he got a camp, and he got along with him all right. But
how did the local residents, you're also a local resident around the park, how did they feel about the development of the park and the CCC being in the area?
Well, after it stayed in here a while, they liked it. But when I first come in here, they liked it. They got helping the people out a whole lot. If a fire was on my place, and they come over here and put it out. And then I went, while I was a leader there, I went to a lot of cemeteries and dug graves. Took a bunch of men and dig them graves. And see, that helped them a whole lot. And we had awful good bosses. We had I had the project superintendent with a fine man, Homer Salisbury. And the superintendent of the park was a fine man. He was Hoskins. And he come over there when he found out I was going to leave and offered me a house to live in if I'd just stay and put wood in the yard for $2.50. And I said, I can't stay here. Well, he said, it's politics and anything in the world I can do about it. But he said, I hate to see you go. And I went on to tube turns and got a little better job. And she was only 29 years.
Were there any specific instances of tension between the local residents and either the Park Service or the CCC at the time?
Not too much. The rangers got into it with a few, on account of hunting and sand digging and one thing or another. And maybe when they first come in here, maybe, I don't know now, but maybe a little moonshine. Well, there's lots of moonshine in here at that time. The people, times were so hard, they just couldn't hardly make a living. They made it anyway good. And the park finally run them off, and they just backed off and quit.
Yeah, I had another man tell me about going to find the moonshiners.
But Hoskins, he made friends with the people, and I think made the rangers pull their guns off, and that had a whole lot to do. We had some awful high-strung fellas in here. Well, the one man shot a ranger by one time.
Yeah, I think I heard about that. Was that Vernon Wells or something?
I don't know if it was. That's about like him, an old name or something. We had some awful good rangers, but me and Wells couldn't get along. I don't know why. Every time he'd meet me, he'd get after it. And the superintendent told me to cuss him out, and I didn't do it. I just told him if he didn't like what I was doing, I told him to go see the superintendent. He's the one who told me what to do.
So there was a pretty good relationship with the CCC in the area.
Yeah, after they seen here a while, and they got, I'd say, pretty good relations.
Do a lot of the guys date local girls?
Yeah. And I think a lot of the girls sit down a lot of fire to get a fire truck over here, too.
Maybe that's how those fires happen.
Yeah, I wasn't out in that way. They get back down on these roads as far as they could get, you know. Well, it wouldn't be but a few minutes here to come and truck loads of these boys. And I was here to mind about sitting them out. That was when they first come over here, before I went over there. And it wasn't nothing to me. And it's a local girl. I wasn't going to tell them. They want to see them CC boys, let them see it. And I imagine there's lots of fires put out with the girls down and set them out. And there's quite a few of the girls around the country that married the boys.
Yeah, I've heard that Joe Calisa, didn't he marry a local girl?
Yeah, and he come from Indiana, Joe did. The boy from over Thompsonville married one of my cousins, and one from Glasgow married one of them. There's quite a few of those.
I'm going to turn the tape over real fast. This is the second side of the tape of my interview with Mr. Smith Meredith. How successful do you think the CCC was in relieving the effects of the Depression?
I heard it was awful good for me. Now one boy worked for me, that he was orphaned. What I mean, he didn't have no daddy. And it was awful effective. And the boys on my side now for Superintendent Salisbury, they worked. They worked hard, and they were good workers. And it would have been awful hard on a lot of people in Richmond.
Did a lot of the, or did many of the CCC men go to work at the park after they ended their time?
No, not very many. Just a few of them went to work. See, Joe went to work. He went off to another park, and then he come back here as superintendent, and Parker Ritter, he was a school teacher, and he went to work as a guide over there, and then he got to be a ranger, and there's a few of the ferrymen stayed on at House and Ferry and Mammoth Cave. And I had a brother-in-law who was a soldier, he got on as ferryman, and he died while he was working on that.
How do you think the development of the park helped the economy of the of the area. Did it help it or change it a lot? Or?
Yeah, it changed it a lot. And a lot of people liked it, but personally, I didn't get them back. I like what they done in a way, but it took an awful lot of the land and took all of the river land up and down Nolan River Road. Hit this dam just left two little farms on the, in Edwards County on Nolan River. And it's hurt our farms. And it was for a long time that we didn't get no tax out of them, but I think we're getting a little tax now. I'm not sure, but I think they pay a little tax. And it hurt us bad for his taxes concerned.
And so now I guess it's mostly tourism that's the big
They bring in quite a bit, and this dam down here brings in a whole lot.
Did most of the people who were displaced by the park coming through, did they go somewhere else in Edmondson County and farm, or did they just try to...
No, they scattered all over the place. Some of them left the state. And I had an uncle over there, he went down to Old Bowling Green, and a lot of them went to Indiana, and some of them went to Illinois, and there's a lot of them saved. Of course, it didn't bother me, it ain't no close to Holly Road over here. And Dad and Mom lived up down there. But, and they stayed there as they died, but they did run my grandma out back over there on a house in Ferry Road, Holly Road. And then two of my uncles out from over there.
What do you think was the greatest contribution that the CCC made for the country?
Well, at the time being, the outside of helping people with the money, building roads. And building that new road over there with a new ferry that. Now this time's in here, it's the only way in the world we could get out was to go to Mumfordsville. The old ferry that Lenny Dawsey owned up there, right up below the mouth of the river, I guess you've been down to it. It wasn't safe. And it was no land to get over the bridge over there. Well, the Houchins ferry wasn't safe, didn't have too good a boat, didn't have too big a boat. And we was forced out, we had to go to Carburn and go to Mumfordsville. And that's the only way we get out. Now that was a great help to us in case of emergency.
Do you think the CCC helped training many of the boys for the military?
No, I don't think he. Or it helped them to some extent. Them young kids left home and come over there and he was under a sergeant and under some rules, but I don't think it helped them too much in as being a soldier. But it did help them as being away from home. Now some of them never was away from home and they got used to that, and of course his first military training didn't even get but very little of it. Calisthenics was about all they got. And
what do you think were the biggest problems with the CCC, or were there any?
Well, I don't think we had too much trouble with them after probably got kind of used to them. But there's 9/10 of people in here is growed up here in these backwoods, and a whole lot of them couldn't read and write. And it was something new forced in on them. And after they kind of got used to them and seen the boys wasn't going to bother them, and they helped them out a whole lot, like there wasn't too much trouble with them.
Were there any problems within the CCC itself, like in...
Well, they'd fight in there once in a while, and whether the boys would. They'd have a fight like that. We'd been there this mountain, and none of them knew. Well, the one that I throwed out the door over that night, when that little boy hit him to find out or something, that could have placed over his eyes. They all usually fit in the fist, they hardly ever hurt one of them.
Did many of the boys desert? Do you know of many?
Not very many. The most ones that deserted was young and come in and went in a few days after you come.
What did you do after you left?
After I left, I went to tube turn.
And you worked?
Well, I worked a little bit from when first day of August, the 12th of December, been in 29 years. And I went to work the 12th day of the December, and they discharged me the 20th. The reason I recollect that date so well, that's the, my daughter's birthday. She's 2 years old.
And you did you work with the stone and concrete still? And
no, I was a metal maker.
Metal maker.
A mandrel maker.
Mandrel. Oh.
I believe I've got one.
Yeah, I'd like to see one.
I went in with the inspector and stayed with them about a year, and I went in the mantle department and stayed the rest of the time as I, well, I whirled it a little.
What is this used for? Or where do you?
Well, then we put that on a rod about, welded a rod on about 20 feet long and filled it up with tubing, mm-hmm. and hit it red hot and put pressure on it, just come up and come off in a 1.5, they call that a 1.5 radius. And come off 90 degrees in time of the war, and away come some of them come off 180. And we'd take two of them, weld them together, and made tires to go on their wagons where we couldn't get no tires.
Oh, okay.
And I've stayed there so long, the biggest one we had was 42 inches across here.
Wow.
And the least one we had was 250,000, about the size of that pencil. And I was making the least one. I was the oldest man. And this urn was 5'11", that was the number. In 139 is what we had. And the metal is steelite. Mm-hmm. So STL for steelite. And that's just as hard. A brand new file won't even pay that. We had a piece of metal, called it a temptage. And we had to grind that to fit that. We had one on the back side, and we had to grind that. We had one on each side, and we had to do that to keep it from having a side crook in it. And we had the one ring went plumb open, we had a finished ring went plumb open, and we had three rings come up here and make that shoulder. And I was only allowed 10,000 tolerance in that, and that's awful little. I had to grind that to the end wheel and polish it down with sandpaper.
And you did that for 29 years.
Well, it's like a few months, being 29 years old.
And you
Was in with the inspector's first year.
And yeah. did you go into World War II or?
No, they turned me down.
Turned you down.
Now, when I was over at the camp, they got us up and registered, and I was one of the first of them. And they called 15, and I was one of the 15. Mm-hmm. And I was married and had one kid, and they just kept putting me off. And they finally called me and told me to come in. And the man that owned this company was head of the deferment board. And I went and told my general foreman, I said, I got to go home. He said, no, I said, old man will get you out of it. I said, he needs you. I said, no, they've jerked me around all they're going to. I said, they're going to take me or quit one. Well, I said, you don't have to go home until I get you transferred up here. And I said, no, I'm going home, and maybe I'll go with some of the boys. I don't just get to see with them. And I come on home in here. I come to K-City and walk to Mammoth Cave and come in the mail carrier and went down there a day before I was supposed to and told the doctor and what was going on. He said, you get your blood test, I'll give you examination day ahead. Well, he's going pretty well, and I reckon, he said, is there anything the matter with you? And I said, no, I don't reckon either. I said, what if they are, and I don't tell you. He cussed a big oath and said, you better tell it if you know it. Well, I said, the x-ray man up on the Haven building said they had new deal ulcers. He said, that's the first you're going. He kicked me out right then, and I never hear from him anymore.
So you retired in 69 or 70, was it?
Oh, I don't know. Well, I've been back down here about 18 years.
Okay.
Take 18 years off of that. 87. It'd be about 70 then, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Is there anything else you want to tell me about the CCC?
No, I've done talk too much now, again.
No, you're just wonderful. Thank you for your time. I really appreciate it.